Last Christmas. You remember that? It's a very popular song by Wham. Matter of fact, maybe on our top 10 at the end of the show. Stay tuned. We'll find out. We're going to be playing some Christmas music, by the way, as we come in and out of our breaks and everything. Big Ed's got some lined up for you. So looking forward to that. Good morning. And welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy. He's wearing a Santa Claus suit, by the way. And my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, December 22nd. Holy Toledo, three more days? Only three more days until Christmas? I got to get out there and get a couple of things purchased. Anyway, we are going to be talking in a few minutes with Nicole Stella Garnett. She is a law professor, among other things, at Notre Dame University. And we're going to talk about how the Supreme Court has opened the door for religious charter schools in this country. I think you'll find it fascinating. Stay tuned. And Congress has passed a massive stimulus and a massive government spending package separately, which include money for, of all things, gender programs in Pakistan. Gender programs in Pakistan are in there. Can you believe that? We're going to get some thoughts on this, along with a few other ideas, as we approach Christmas Day, with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, we are indeed going to, I guess we'll say reprise it, because we've done this before, Ed, but we're going to give them the top 10 most popular holiday songs. And as I said, Ed's got a few songs he'll be playing as we come in and out of our program today. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys got to get over there for your Christmas haircut. You know, you want to look good when Santa comes through the chimney or opens the door or however he gets in your house. So get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. They're open, by the way, Tuesdays through Saturdays. So you got plenty of time, 8:30 to 5 through Friday, and then 8:30 to 2 o'clock this Saturday. Of course, this Friday they're going to be closed because it'll be Christmas Day. But get over there before then and call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773, 733-3773. And while we're at it, do not forget, every morning, start your day with Good Morning Clearwater, 8 to 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen start off your day with the latest in the news and in the entertainment world and sports. And even though Paul cannot tell a good joke, he's heard good jokes, and that's important. By the way, they also create some beautiful posters, banners, flyers, business cards. You can call them at 727-330-3212. Well, it looks like because the House is so close in its makeup, they actually split the coronavirus and omnibus packages into two votes because they were afraid that some of the stuff in there would not be liked by a few people and that would make the difference in whether or not it was passed. The House, in what could be a foreshadowing of things to come in our Congress for the next 4 years, split the coronavirus relief and government funding bills that were passed last night into two separate votes. Now, that allowed members to vote against the part that included military and homeland security funding without putting the rest of the thing in jeopardy. They both passed, by the way, both parts. And among them, they've got coronavirus relief in the coronavirus relief legislation includes a pair of assistance programs in Pakistan where $15 million, with an M, will be put towards, quote, democracy programs, and $10 million will be distributed to, quote, gender programs. Why? Why are we sending any money over to Pakistan to begin with? That's what I would like to know. I don't think we should be spending any money except when it comes to keeping people afloat in this country right now. And even then, I'm not sure the federal government should be doing any of this. But there were some people that didn't like either one of the bills. The package, by the way, that included the defense spending and the money for the things like Pakistan gender stuff, that passed 327 to 85. I mean, it was way easily passed. Only 41 Democrats and 43 Republicans voted against it. Now, the relief bill with coronavirus and stimulus and all that, that passed even by a larger majority, 359 to 53. So I guess everybody can get a $600 check. If you, I don't think everybody got the $1,200 checks. But anyway, $600 coming out, I guess, to most of us. And by the way, in that coronavirus bill, 50 Republicans voted against it. And two Democrats voted against it. Guess who were the two Democrats? Tulsi Gabbard. Remember her? She ran for the presidency for the Democratic nomination. Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii and Rashida Tlaib of Michigan voted against the bills for coronavirus relief. They also voted against the first bill that included the defense and immigration stuff. So there you go. I don't know where we're going with all of this stuff. All I know is our debt is what, going to be about $27 trillion now? $27 or $28 trillion? I'm not sure the federal government should be in the business of any of this. I think that the state governments will better handle any kind of money that could be sent out to the people that need it in their state. I think it's a much better way of doing things. All we're doing is printing money. Come on now. Do you think you're going to actually see a raise in your taxes? Do you think Democrats are going to raise middle-class taxes? Are they going to come out and say, well, look, you know, while the virus was going around, we had to send out the checks, and we send out all of this other money, so now we got to raise your taxes. Right. It's going to be more money added to the debt. That's where it goes. We're printing money. And then we're trying to find buyers on the open market to finance our debt. One of these days, and guess who's financing a goodly chunk, if not most of it these days, not most of it, but of all of the foreign financing, it's China that carries most of our debt. So there you go. All right, let us take our break. And when we come back, we are going to speak with Nicole Stella Garnett from Notre Dame University about the Supreme Court and religious charter schools.
Dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities, the best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Tune in to Old East Channel Radio every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Do you remember the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Well, we'll be playing the greatest hits as well as plenty of songs from the B-side. This show is sure to bring back memories. So pull out your record collection, adjust your antenna, and listen to Old East Channel Radio Fridays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshew.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. 3 days before Christmas, too. I love that those Christmas songs, Ed. You're doing a great job, my friend. We are delighted to have Nicole Stella Garnett join us. She is a law professor at Notre Dame University. She is also an adjunct fellow at the Manhattan Institute. And we're going to talk a little bit about religious charter schools and whether or not the Supreme Court, as you know, we've had a few additions to it during the Trump administration, if indeed the Supreme Court is opening the door for such kinds of schools, even with the Biden administration coming in. Nicole, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks. So good to
be here.
There
you are. I'm sorry?
Sorry about that.
Okay. Can you hear us okay?
I can hear you fine. Can you not hear me? I'm so sorry.
Ah, there we go. Yes, we can indeed. Welcome to Freedom Works, Nicole. I want to talk a little bit about your article that you wrote regarding the Supreme Court opening the door for religious charter schools. Now, we've got a new administration coming in, and I guess Betsy DeVos, who's been Donald Trump's education secretary, has been very much, I think, probably favorable towards charter schools and religious charter schools. But you're saying that perhaps one of the court cases the Supreme Court decided on, I think it's Espinoza versus Montana, is going to kind of stave off any attempt maybe by Democrats or by the Biden administration to stamp down on religious charter schools. I wanted to get your thought on it.
Sure. Well, the president-elect just announced his new nominee for the education secretary, and unlike Secretary DeVos, it's clear this man, whose name is, let's see, I'm going to get it here. His name is Miguel Cardona from Connecticut. He's not going to be a fan of parental choice.
Okay.
So that's a problem for, you know, for folks like me who really support parental choice. The question you raised is really about a case the Supreme Court decided this year. It's called Espinoza versus Montana. What Espinoza said was that if the state sets up a parental choice program, it cannot discriminate against religious schools in that program because that would violate the free exercise clause. That would be religious discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
So that prevents states from excluding religious schools from parental choice programs. The federal government is also bound by this. The article that I wrote really raises a different question, and that's whether this extends to charter schools instead of just private school choice programs like vouchers and tax credits. Florida has a very large tax credit program. But what about charter schools, which are privately operated, publicly funded schools? And the article says that, in my view, this Espinoza decision, this anti-discrimination principle, ought to allow for charter school operators to have religious schools.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. I mean, there is this push by the teachers' unions against both vouchers, I think charter schools as well. I guess they consider it a threat. They consider it a threat because these schools typically are not, what would you say, hamstrung by regulations quite as much. And it does seem like, wherever I look, it seems like charter schools and even private religious schools tend to do a little bit better job of generally educating the kids. I think most people believe that. Now we've got a lot of these voucher programs. We've got a one here in Florida, of course. And people are just standing in line, you know, to get those programs, to get their kids an opportunity to go to a better school. So it seems like we have a sympathetic Supreme Court. And I guess, is it your thought that during the Biden administration there may be some attempts to sort of put the brakes on some of this progress?
Sure. Yes, I think that first of all, to your point, parents want choices for their children, and parents know better than bureaucrats what kinds of schools are good for their children. The poll. Parent choice, charter schools and private school choice, religious schools, is highest among disadvantaged parents. These are things that everybody knows. And yeah, there is probably some fear of competition among certain people in the public school sector. But it's really important to keep in mind that the people who will benefit most from parental choice are the ones who want it most, not the people who have really awesome suburban public schools with the kids stuck in public schools and they may not be serving them as well in city centers, disadvantaged minority kids. So will the Biden administration try to put the brakes on parental choice? Of course, Joe Biden has said that he wants to defund charter schools, and he will do everything he can to roll back private school choice in the states. Now, fortunately, most programs are state, not federal. There's some federal funds that flow to charter schools that Joe Biden has said he wants to defund these programs. But most of the choices are provided at the state level. So the Biden administration can make things difficult for states like Florida, but it can't shut down the great parental choice program that Florida has, just the corporate scholarship tax credit program. Florida has the largest private school choice program in the country and one of the largest numbers of kids in charter schools. And most of those kids are the most disadvantaged kids who really need options.
Do you think Betsy DeVos was successful? She had to run up against the unions, and time after time, it seems like. I don't think she got fair press, to be honest with you. I read these stories about, things that she tries to do, and they always seem to paint her as someone that was, anti-teacher or anti-union kind of situation. Do you think she got a fair shake?
Well, I don't think the press was a big fan of Betsy DeVos. And I do think that she made some important inroads, particularly in the area of parental choice. So she was a tireless advocate for parental choice before and after, during her, during the Trump administration. So that was the one issue that she cared most about. And I do think for that reason, people in the teachers' unions and those in hands of the supporters of traditional public schools really did go after her. I don't think that the politics of the moment were such that she was able to accomplish what she wanted to. She came in and President Trump came in promising that there would be a tax credit program that would enable a federal program that would enable folks to get tax credits for donations to private scholarship programs that sent kids to private schools, poor kids to private schools. She came in saying she wanted to expand federal support for charter schools. I think politics were such that was very, very difficult and those things weren't accomplished. But she was a tireless advocate for parental choice. I don't think that is what we'll see in the next administration.
Yes, right. We're talking with Nicole Stella Garnett. She is a law professor at Notre Dame University and an adjunct fellow at the Manhattan Institute. We're talking about the Supreme Court opening the door for religious charter schools. And Nicole has written about this situation. So, Nicole, a lot of people maybe get confused about charter schools, but as you said, they are privately run, but they are publicly funded. Now, this becomes a little bit of a, I guess, as far as the federal government goes, a little bit of a, I mean, they want to kind of wrap their tentacles around regulating these charter schools even more than they are right now, correct? And the unions certainly want to see that as well, kind of to stifle them a little bit. Your thought on that?
Sure. First of all, just to clarify what a charter school is for some people who may not know, charter schools are privately operated schools. They're publicly funded. State law creates the opportunity for operators to open these schools. And that way they're a little different than private schools in that private schools typically are pre-existing. So in Florida, there are charter schools that are open and fully publicly funded through the charter school law. And then there are lots of private schools that receive funds through the scholarship tax credit law. So both of them receive some public funds. Charter schools tend to be completely funded and a little more regulated than private schools. But they do enjoy substantial freedom from most regulations that govern traditional public schools, district public schools, like many people like me went to, the traditional, you know, the school district schools run by school districts. And, you know, one of the big arguments in the parental choice debate is should these schools, private schools as well as charter schools, be more regulated? In particular, should they be subject to the direct supervision of school districts? They currently aren't. Should they be required to hire only unionized teachers, for example? Should they have the freedom to construct their own curriculum? Currently in those states they do, but these are definitely places where opponents of parental choice want to use the regulatory process to make life difficult for these alternatives to district public schools.
Sure.
And yeah. I do think in the Biden administration that will happen.
Right. I've always wondered if we even have a need for an education secretary. I say that because I don't want the federal government's involvement in schools. I'd much rather see each of the states run the school system, the public school systems, leaving the federal government the heck out of it, you know? And then allowing people to take a look at the different states and say, well, I'd rather go to this state because of my kids getting a better education here than maybe over here. But when you got a one-size-fits-all with the federal government's involvement, you know, it's like anything else. The further away you get the government from the people, the less beneficial, the less helpful they really turn out to be.
Right. I think for every Republican, many Republican administrations, going back at least to Ronald Reagan, have thought that perhaps we don't need a federal Department of Education. The reality is I don't see it going away. It's been proposed many times. We've been pouring a lot of money through the federal government, a lot of regulation into public schools, into charter schools. There's a lot of question about whether that has been money well spent, as you say, perhaps states, which continue to be the primary funder and regulator of public schools, are better off because they're closer to the people. And as you say, you know, if we think about parental choice, one thing to keep in mind is that most Americans choose by moving. So one of the reasons parental choice for disadvantaged families is so important is even if you're not moving from Florida to Georgia, you might move school districts if you can afford it. And that's how most Americans choose schools for their kids. If you're a poor parent, you don't have the resources to do that. Parental choice, publicly funded parental choice, whether it's a charter school or a private school, becomes much, much more important.
Right. Indeed it does. Indeed it does. Nicole, I want to thank you so very much. I think this is so important. Maybe the most important topic really is the education of our kids. And with vouchers and charter schools, it offers more opportunities for parents, and that's so important. So thank you so very much, and a very Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
All right. Nicole Stella Garnett. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Congress has passed a huge stimulus and a huge government spending package. Among other things, is this going to really do us any good? We'll talk about all of this with the proprietor of the Barber Pole himself, Andrew Ceraci.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barbershop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. and then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities, the best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the TAM Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's TAN Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Oh, it's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties hosting marshmallows.
Hey, we are. Oh, there, here comes Burl. Okay, Burl. I loved Holly Jolly Christmas. That was one of my all-time favorites.
There'll be snow, but have a cup of
good old Burl. All right, we are back, and I hope we do have a holly jolly Christmas. I was just looking at this story, Ed. This is the deadliest year in U.S. history, or at least statistics-wise when you're counting, with deaths expected to top, overall, total number, to top 3 million for the first time. Due mainly, they say here, to the virus pandemic. Final mortality data for the year, not available for a few months, but preliminary numbers, the U.S. on track to see more than 3.2 million people dying this year. And that's going to be about 400,000 more than 2019. Okay, I don't know what we can make of that. But in the meantime, Attorney General William Barr says he has no plans to appoint a special counsel on his way out the door. A special counsel to take a look at the Hunter Biden tax affair. He thinks that the Department of Justice is doing just fine, thank you, and they will continue to take a look at all of this. Now, whether or not Biden is going to come in and try to take a new attorney general and tell him to squelch the whole thing, we're going to find out. In the meantime, do we have our buddy, Andrew the Master Barber, with us? Andrew, you there?
I'm here, Paul.
All right, buddy. All right. So tell me, first of all, let's talk a little bit about this huge package that the House has passed. Now, remember that the Senate has to come along with one of their own packages and get that through the door as well. They're still in the process. But all of these tax bills and spending bills have to originate in the House. So it looks like they got a deal going. What do you think about this money that they have decided to allocate? Now, we even got money going to Pakistan. Would you believe it? To Pakistan?
Well,
go ahead.
Disgusting. Okay?
Okay.
President Trump better veto this thing in no time at all. I mean, did you see it?
Nobody's seen it because nobody will read it. It's like 6,000 pages. That's another problem.
That's right.
Nobody knows what's in it.
Just from what I've seen, Paul, $1 billion for the Smithsonian, $40 million for the Kennedy Center, $154 million for the National Art Gallery, $167 million for the Arts and Humanities, $14 million for the Woodrow Wilson Center, $10 million for Gender Progress. The foreign countries is really great. Egypt, $1.3 billion. Sudan, $700 million. Ukraine, $453 million. Israel, $500 million. Nepal, $130 million. Burma, $135 million.
Wow.
Cambodia, $85.5 million. Pakistan, $25 billion, and Asia, $1.48 billion. call is disgusting.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
They might give you $600. That's just enough to maybe buy a gun if you could find one.
You're right. Well,
it's disgusting.
It is
Paul.
Disgusting. Yeah, it is disgusting. It's disgusting that nobody will read the bill. It's disgusting that they are allowed to package all of this in one bill rather than allow people to see what's going on and vote separately on these things. That's what's disgusting. It's disgusting that we can't afford it. It's disgusting
Paul,
that we're printing
money to begin with.
It's disgusting.
Paul,
that
you know what this is, Paul? This is the Democrats and the Republicans working together to redistribute the wealth of this country, a little bit we have left, to bring us down to these other countries to bring in their globalism, socialist views.
Yeah.
That's what it is, Paul.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Actually, we were just talking earlier in the show about whether or not, I mean, they're afraid to raise taxes on the middle class, and there's not enough money they can squeeze out of wealthy people to pay for this. So what we're doing really is printing money. We're printing money and then we're selling it, hoping people will buy our debt. And so we print money and then, you know, away we go with all of these programs. We're now, what, we're at $26 trillion
in debt? There was only one person trying to stop all of this between the Democrats and the Republicans. That was Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And it still is Donald Trump, okay? Now, you got the Republicans, you got the Democrats doing this together, Paul. It's showing just how the election had the fraud. Come on, look at even the Republicans voting for this thing. They ought to be ashamed of themselves.
Now, Trump has threatened to veto
the omnibus spending bill
because of
the... If I was him, you know what I would do? I'd say, you know what? Here, I'm going to sign it. You people live with it. This is what you wanted. This is what you're voting for. Mm-hmm. That's what I would do if I was him. And I'd go back out on my yacht and tell everybody to kiss my rear end.
Well, the thing is that they may be a veto-proof majority anyway. That's if you look at the numbers. I mean, here we are at the very last moment of the year doing all of this stuff. Nancy Pelosi has already admitted she held on until she knew that Biden had supposedly won the election. Before even wanting to pass a stimulus bill that would send money out to people, why can't we just send out a bill, maybe two separate bills, one for people, you know, directly, those checks, and the second to fund businesses that can show that they need a little bit of help. It's always a little bit risky to do that. That's why I don't even want the federal government involved in this, because it never does it correctly, you know?
First of all, Paul, what is all this money going to foreign countries for?
Oh,
we can't take care of our own here.
Agree.
There's people starving in the streets from their so-called pandemic, which was a big setup. This whole thing, Paul, is a big farce. This country needs a revolution on Washington, believe me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe it's coming, Paul.
Yeah. I think people are fed up. But we keep reelecting the same, you know, the Nancy Pelosi's and the Chuck's.
Yeah, it's got to be the voting machines, Paul. People can't be that stupid.
Oh, they are when you mean with Nancy Pelosi being reelected?
No, all of them.
They're all being reelected because people are ignorant enough to do so. That's my feeling in this.
Something needs to be done. This country's going to go down the tube. Now, you mark my words, if Trump doesn't pull this off, this country's going into a spin and it's not going to be able to pull itself out. And that's what they want to happen. All the globalists and the elites. The American people better join together, say to hell with the Democrats and the Republicans. Keep Trump in there, defend this country, and take care of our own.
Well, one thing that's going to help maybe stop some of the nonsense that will occur in the Biden administration is keeping the Senate for the Republicans. And Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger yesterday took action to protect the Senate runoff from interference from out-of-state voters. You know, you've heard about some of these people that are going to want to come in and register as residents, vote, and get the hell out after that. Raffensperger has sent 8,000 letters to people who had moved out of Georgia but wanted absentee ballots. He said, qualified Georgians and only Georgians allowed to vote in our election. I will not tolerate out-of-state voters. He said that if they try to game the system, they'll be prosecuted, including a fine of up to $100,000 and as many as 10 years in prison. So maybe he can scare off some of the phony voters here.
No, they're laughing at that, Paul, especially when they're letting people walk out of jail anytime they want now.
Yeah.
But No, Paul, you want that election to be right? If he had any Cuyunes at all, he'd say paper ballots with a receipt, period.
Yeah. Yeah, get the hell out of the mail-in voting
idea.
That's
right, because this is all that's going on, Paul. You got Stacey Abrams there. She's trying to pull every card she can to get every illegal vote she can and get it passed through.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, we're in trouble, Paul.
We're talking with he's very concerned, the proprietor of the barber poll, Andrew Ceresi. Andrew, is there any hope left for Trump in his fight against...
Well, the people better hope there's... Let me tell you something. I'd say a revolution would be the best thing right now, to be honest with you. Because what's going down here is disgusting. They're going to break this country, and the people think this is good? Give me a break, Paul. They can't be that stupid.
But what can we really do? You say a revolution. What exactly do we do
a
revolution?
What would it be like to see about 5 or 6 million armed people going on in Washington and grabbing these politicians out by the scruff of their neck?
Yeah, but what do you do? I mean, seriously, what do you replace it with?
We replace it. We find some people that we want to run that we think are qualified. Get rid of all the scumbags that are in there.
So it kind of sounds like either, I guess, the French Revolution, right? Everybody marches on the...
Paul, you know what I'm hoping?
There was a lot of trouble after that.
Paul, at the end of the Civil War, there was some famous words uttered. The South will rise again. And if you look at the voting patterns of what's going on in this country, guess what? The South is rising again.
Yeah. Well, it used to be that, you thought about all of the wealth, this and that, in the Northeast. But that isn't the case anymore, because people that have the wealth are sick and tired of the regulations and the way that they're being taxed out of their own money. And they do move to the South.
took the wealth away from the people in the Northeast. Look at the taxes they pay. Look at these benefits they got. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Say, on a lighter note, you're going to be open through Thursday, and then are you going to be closed on Friday and Saturday? What is your barber schedule?
That's it. We're going to close at 1 o'clock on Thursday, Paul, and we're going to try and celebrate Christmas.
Well, I hope you will.
Hopefully, the birth of the Lord with that star shining last night will take care of this country because it needs all the help it can get.
Yes. So maybe we should look to the heavens. You're right about that, because how many times even now, if you turn on TV, have you even heard mention of the birth of Jesus in line with Christmas? It's nothing but, talk about holidays and Santa Claus and
buying
gifts.
Talk about, Paul, the general product, how much they're selling compared to the year before. You know what? The people got no money. They shouldn't buy anything and put China out of business, because that's where it's all coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think about Bill Barr, huh? Oh, we're not assigning that. But talk about the perfect screw into Trump, buddy.
Yeah, I was just talking about what Bill Barr had to say. He's going to leave things alone on his way out the door.
He's a disgusting POS, you know that. Look at Paul. They're all in cahoots together, the Democrats and the Republicans. The American people better realize what's going on.
Yeah.
You got a few Republicans, believe me, and you probably have a few Democrats, Paul. Look at 44 of them voted against this bill yesterday.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not condemning
all of them, believe me.
No. Including our buddy Rand Paul. He voted against it. He's always good for voting against it. I'm glad to hear it.
Enough, Paul. The people need to stand up.
Yeah. Well, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, my friend. We are not going to be doing our show live on Friday. We will be back next week with you after Christmas. But I want to wish you the best. Are you going to be doing anything special for Christmas other than... putting on your Santa Claus suit, running around the street in front of your house?
Paul, the kids are all grown up. I look at it as one hell of a terrible year. And all I'm going to do is celebrate the birth of Christ and pray to God that he takes care of this country.
Well, I think that's a very good and very thoughtful thing to say. Thank you so much, my friend. A very Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to everybody.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. All right, my friend. Bye-bye. So there he goes. He's a little bit upset about the way things are going, a little depressing. But, we're going to keep up the good fight, and I know he will too. Okay, let's take our final break. And among other things, we are going to present to you, you've been listening to some of them, by the way, the 10 most popular holiday Christmas songs.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, feliz Navidad.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tan Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up.
Hey, we are back for the final segment here, and this is going to be our last show before we take a little Christmas break. We'll be back again on Monday, but I want to remind you, we are normally here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. And if you cannot listen to us live, you can go to our website, thanks to Ed. He puts all our shows on podcast, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. All right, well, couple of things before we get to our top 10. And by the way, we've been listening to some of the songs that assuredly would make our top 10 most popular holiday songs. But a lot of hypocrisy with people in government telling everybody to stay indoors and celebrate Christmas without inviting your friends over. Even in some cases, when you've got kids that are away at school, not to have them come back and be with you at Christmas because they might bring the disease. One of the people is this lady, Dr. Deborah Birx. By the way, it sounds like she's going to slide over into the Biden camp as well, but she has been a spokesman and a coordinator of the White House coronavirus response under Donald Trump. And she's been warning Americans to be vigilant and limit your celebrations. So what happens? The day after Thanksgiving, she travels to one of her vacation properties in Delaware. And, you know, some of her peers say that she should be held to a higher standard given her prominent role in the government's response to the pandemic. But she's out there traveling around. Now, you got to realize that some of these health people do indeed have to make, you know, presentations and do this and do that. But it doesn't look good when they're telling you to stay indoors, not move around, and they're doing exactly that. They're staying outdoors, and they are moving around, and she's been doing it as well. So here are some of her peers talking about it. This is Dr. Angela Rasmussen at Georgetown Center for Global Health Science. She says, regarding Dr. Birx, to me this disqualifies her from any future government health position. It's a terrible message for someone in public health to be sending to the American people. And Birx acknowledged that she went to visit her Delaware properties and was, you know, moving about with other people. She won't be interviewed on this. But she said, I did not go to the Delaware properties to celebrate Thanksgiving. You know, She said that she has to clear up some real estate affairs. And she said that on her Delaware trip, that everyone belonged to her immediate household, even though they had lived in two different homes. So there you go. I guess nobody exactly gets it right. Finally, would you believe that the mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, maybe he's crediting Fox News with doing something right. During a news conference last week, he vowed to fight structural racism in New York schools by redistributing wealth. He's admitted he wants to redistribute wealth. So Fox News ran an article on the event, and they entitled it, New York City Mayor Sees the Redistribution of Wealth an Important Factor Toward Ending Structural Racism in Education. So de Blasio, during a discussion on the city's plan to help neighborhoods, said, exactly right. I don't get to say it very often, but Fox News got it exactly right. Amen. Well, at least he admits he's a redistributor. I don't think it's a very good idea, but that seems to be the way it goes. All right. Well, Ed, since we're not going to be doing another show until after Christmas, I'm just wondering, I guess we're going to, are we going to have any important football games between now and next week? Are the Bucks going to be playing in an important game?
That's the scary part. You know, they don't do well in nationally televised games.
And they have one coming up?
They're going to be on Saturday.
Okay.
At 1 o'clock. Now, there are three games on Saturday, and they will be the first game.
Who are they playing?
They will be at Detroit. Play the Lions.
That's a gimme.
That's how you lose
games. Haven't they fired everybody in Detroit that's on the football coaching staff?
They haven't fired. They quit by now.
Yes. I think the GM's gone. The coach is definitely gone there, you know. But like you say, those are the games you worry about.
Yeah, because, you know, guys are playing for jobs. They're playing for next year. You know?
So if you were to select the best team in the NFL right now, do you have a choice?
Oh, Kansas City is going to, say the Chiefs.
You would. I kind of agree with you. What about in the NFC? Is Tampa Bay the best in the NFC?
At times, but not all the time. And you want to say the Rams, but the Rams just got beat by the 0-14 Jets.
You know, a team I would root for, just being sort of a casual observer, would be, just because they haven't been there in a long time, Buffalo.
Buffalo has got to get past the Chiefs. But, yeah, I think they're going to be up there. That could be the AFC championship game.
Wouldn't that be something?
I mean, Pittsburgh has just fallen off the planet.
They have. Yeah,
fallen off the planet.
What happened to them?
You know, they've been playing a lot of soft teams. And
well, why aren't they beating them?
Ben Roethlisberger is just getting old.
He's getting old.
He looked like his feet were cement last night.
Well, he's always had cement feet, though. He's never been the fastest guy in the world. Anyway. Very interesting. All right, my friend. So you've been playing all of this great music, holiday music and Christmas music. And we did this before, but I wanted to bring it back because this is so appropriate for us, our last show before the holidays. These are the top 10, according to Billboard magazine, top 10 most popular holiday songs. All right. Now, Ed, you don't know what they are, so you can't play them right away after this. So I'm not going to hold you to anything.
Mm-hmm.
But here we go. Number 10. You played it right at the beginning of the show, Last Christmas by Wham. It's a very nice song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it.
That's Boy George before he got all weird.
Oh, no kidding.
I'm not sure. Not Boy George. I can't forget his name.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One of the others. Okay, that's all right. I don't know either. All right, number 9. You played this one, too. Got to give you credit. Bing Crosby's White Christmas. Mm-hmm. Beautiful song. I think it's my favorite, actually.
Well, mine were listed holiday songs also, but they were all Christmas. They all had Christmas in the title.
Yeah, they have. You're correct. All right, number 8. I don't think anybody knows this one as well, but it's called Christmas Eve by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Yeah, that's just a nice background, musical.
You know about
thing.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see
Orchestra.
The commercials where the people got wild lights and all, and dun, 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 dun. That's the group that does that.
Oh, is
when
that
the lights
it
dun, 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 dun.
So I've heard that song before.
Well, no, that's one of their songs. It's a softer version.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Okay, all right. Number 7. It's the most wonderful time of the year, right. Andy Williams. I think you played it. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but that's a beautiful song. Always love that song, Andy Williams. Number six. And you played this one, too. Holly Jolly Christmas, mm-hmm. Burl Ives. Love that song. Burl Ives was a great guy. He, you know, he played the guitar and he sang. He was a good actor,
yeah,
too.
He did the Christmas special, too.
He did. Number five. Did you play Feliz Navidad?
I sure did.
Yeah. Jose Feliciano. Great song. Mm-hmm. Oh, so catchy. Once you start singing it, you can't stop. Number four. Number four is Jingle Bell Rock. Did we play it?
Bobby Helms.
Bobby Helms. I love it. Golly, that goes back to 1956. Jingle Bell Rock. All right. Number three. Nat King Cole, this is a beautiful song, yeah. The Christmas Song.
Mm-hmm.
Did we play that?
No.
He is so good.
We didn't get to that one.
Yeah. That's one of the most beautiful songs. It's been re-recorded by other people, but nobody did it like Nat King Cole did it. That's a great song. You know who wrote that? I think it was written by Mel Torme.
Mm.
Remember Mel Torme,
mm-hmm.
The Mr. Foggy voice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Number two. Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee. Yeah, I love that song.
You always
song.
Hear that every year.
I play that one every year. That one, that's a catchy song. Very catchy song. Okay, Ed. I don't know if you remember that this is number one or
I
not.
I do. I think what the bigger issue is if you're going to get her first name right.
I will, now that you mentioned it. I screwed it up the last time. Very good.
I'll give you her last name. Her last name is Carrie.
Yeah. And then remember the song they call the winds Mariah?
Mariah.
Yeah, indeedy. But the song is All I Want for Christmas Is You.
And this is it. So you got a minute to send us out.
All right. Indeed, my friends. On that note, we want to both Ed and I wish you the very merriest of Christmases. We hope it's a safe one. We hope it's a happy one. Take good care of yourselves. We'll be back on Monday. And please remember, freedom works.